The following is a presentation of Uninterrupted Canada. Welcome to the Benny and Bo Show with your hosts, Ben Hebert and Bo Levi Mitchell.
All right. The episode 9. I've been waiting for this one. A good friend, a new friend, but a good friend. We also happen to share a massage therapist, so I'm super excited about that. But welcome back to episode 9 of the Benny and Bo Show. Man, we've got a lot going on and some of our favorite stuff to talk about here.
We got a big week. We got Damian Warner joining us right away. Friend of mine who just got the OT winner for the ladies hockey team, Marie-Philippe Poulin, joining us later in the show.
MPP.
It's rivalry week. Hey?
It's rivalry week.
It's Labor Day.
I have trouble saying rivalry.
We got action in the CFL. We want to hit up on that. Legs feeling good. I'm back from holidays. The NFL is back this week. I cannot wait. But first, our man is in the waiting room, and we don't want to leave him any longer. So let's bring him on in here.
Let's do it. All right. So to me, right now, he has the title, and this is not just to me. It's to everybody out there. He has the title of the greatest athlete in the world. He is your 2021 Olympic gold medal winner in Tokyo for the decathlon, Damian Warner. Dame, what's going on, man?
Not much. Thanks for having me on.
Man, so pretty exciting. I get to see it all over Instagram, Twitter. You throw out the first pitch of the Blue Jays game. First of all, were you nervous, and how did it go?
I think I was more nervous for that pitch than I was for my whole decathlon in Tokyo.
No doubt. I was expecting a laser. I actually shot. I saw it on Twitter today. I thought you were going to come in, maybe even shot put it something cool or a laser beam. Like, I know you got a huge arm, obviously, but you kind of muffined one in there. I was expecting to throw a cannon in there.
Yeah. So in 2016, so in my hometown, I'm from London, Ontario, we had like a London Majors game and they had me throw in front of the pitcher's mound in that game. And the guy told me like, don't throw it as hard as you can. So I feel like that was stuck in my head. Like, don't throw this as hard as you can. Just kind of get it in there. But it's like, I got out there and I was like, this is so much closer than I was expecting. With no warm up. I was like, I just got to lob it in there. And it almost went over his head. I think like that was the perfect pitch zone for someone like Yao Ming.
Oh man, well, don't feel bad. I threw out the first pitch in Okotoks Dogs game. I threw it as hard as I could and I turfed it.
But, I mean, it could have been like someone like 50 Cent or like Carl Lewis. So I don't think I made that list, but yeah, no, I'm happy. It was a good game.
Right on. Hey, so I know when you get back from the games, you must have been slammed. By the way, congratulations. I know you got a young son, Theo. I know you've probably been slammed with him, you know, getting back with the family. But what other kind of cool stuff happens for you right now after you win the gold? I know you come home. People must be kind of trying to get you everywhere, pulling you every which way. What have you been doing? People trying to keep you busy?
Yeah, I mean, we have some like sponsors obligations. There's some other events that we got invited to. There's obviously the Blue Jays game today. We're going to a football game. I won't talk about that too much tomorrow for the Labor Day Classic.
Shame on you.
Besides that, just kind of just spending some time with the family. You know, like they weren't able to go over to Tokyo with us, so just spending as much time with those guys, because as you guys know, as athletes, it requires a lot of people to help you get to a certain point. And all those people were originally planning to have us to share that moment in Tokyo. But it was nice to share that with them when we finally got home.
I love it. I am excited that you're going to the game. I know it's not our game, and that's okay. We do have the women's hockey team coming. I'm excited about that. But you will be at the Ticats Argonauts game. Who are you rooting for?
I mean, the Ticats are inviting me, so I feel like
I'm obligated to
say the Ticats. Show up
with the Ticats jersey over top the Argos and then go out there and rip off the Ticats jersey for the Argos jersey.
Yeah, show up in all black. I'll just be impartial. But no, Andy Fantuz has kind of been part of our team in a way. Like he's been very supportive and had a lot of events, you know. So I feel like I'm rooting for the Ticats this week.
Love Andy Fantuz, old Rider. He was sick back in the day when we go all the Rider games.
Oh, he was an awesome receiver. All right, hey, so Vin and I, we are always competing to see who is a better athlete, and I mean always, every day. But we can't take this title from you, man. The world's greatest athlete. Do you like it? Have you been hearing it a little bit? Like, how do you feel about it?
I've been hearing it a little bit, but it's one of those things where I feel very awkward when people say it, you know, just because I don't know what that title entails. I understand, like, it was said to decathletes in the past, but I just feel very awkward with it. But at the same time, like, I think I'm happy with the title. Olympic decathlon champion. Yeah. I'll take that.
Well, 9,000 points. You can be called whatever you want to be called.
You're a humble guy. I'm thankful that neither one of us could take that title because we would be big dogging it everywhere.
I would probably get it tattooed on my neck, actually.
I guess if you're out with your really close-knit friends, I mean, the odd time you could throw them a jab. If they're talking about like LeBron or Tom Brady, like the best athletes ever, you can say, hey, guys, I am the world's greatest.
Don't forget Warner.
That's right. You can throw it in within your quiet circles.
Yeah.
So
never be afraid to throw that title around, I guess.
I'll use it
sparingly.
That's right. Good shit. So I want to know how you got into being a decathlon athlete because it's not like super mainstream sport. And I read something that your basketball coach was the one who kind of pushed you and said, you should try to get into this. I want to know if he just saw and he knew you were going to excel like crazy, or if he just thought you had a really bad shot and wanted you off the basketball team. Like how did that all shake down?
No, he was actually my high school English teacher first. So he was teaching me in English. He didn't help me too much in that. But then I started playing basketball with him. From there, we kind of morphed into track and field. Then from there, I started playing a little bit of football and stuff like that. And I could see that I could run. So then I started doing like 100 meter sprints, long jump, all that kind of stuff. And by the end of my high school, I was kind of not doing too well in track. I was getting a little bit injured. So I was actually thinking about quitting track and maybe trying to pursue football. So I was talking to some of my friends and I was just like, what do I need to do to pursue this football route? And that's when my coach came to me and he suggested the decathlon. And at that point I had nothing to lose. So I was just like, sure, what's the decathlon? And then once I found out that there was a 400 meters and 1500, I almost backed out because that was a little too much for me. But luckily I stuck with those guys because it's taken me to some amazing places.
No doubt.
Oh man. Yeah. So I was talking to Leah. So people don't know who she is, but you know, she works on us a little bit massage wise. And, I was like, man, give me some juice on Dame. And she's like, well, Vince Carter, I'm pretty sure is his favorite athlete of all time. And you know, we have a Vince Carter jersey. We had to switch it out because Kyle was on the show.
Now that Kyle got traded from the Raps, we might throw the Vince, back up there.
But Ben was talking about it, man. I was just laughing. He's like, I kind of want to ask Dame, like, and I think he was a little bit embarrassed to do it too much, but he's like, how bad does your shot have to be for your coach to look at you and be like, hey, man, you should go try out for track and field?
Well, actually, I'm a pretty decent shooter, but, you know, my coach was, like, reluctant to coach track and field. So we had this other kid named Max Dubanowski, and he was a pretty decent basketball player, but he was at a public school. And my coach was actually trying to get him to come to our school, but his mom approached him and said, like, he'll only come to the school if there's a track and field team. And my school didn't have one at the time, so they created one. And he didn't want to be only out there coaching Max, so he decided to, like, throw a whole bunch of us basketball players out there. So we had, like, a 6'8 guy trying to run sprints. We had all these different people, and took us to a meet, and I did pretty well and kind of just stuck with it from there. So it's a very unique story. I think it's a cool story because like I was saying, he was my English teacher. And at that point he had no history of coaching track and field. No, we didn't even know what the decathlon was. And here we are at our third Olympics and the decathlon gold medal. So it just shows that if you have the right people around you and you work hard towards something, then yeah, you can get to some crazy places.
So the 9.79 documentary, the 30 for 30. So Benny gets me to watch it. And, a lot of it was about, you know, them actually becoming the fastest athlete ever, right? But for me, and Benny spoke on it because he kind of wants to know this too, it was, man, what about them just talking about cashing in? Because once you become that, it's 4 years and you're the fastest athlete, you have bragging rights basically for 4 years. So is it you being on the top of the mountain right now? Is it time? Because when I win the Grey Cup, my phone is ringing off the hook. It's sponsors are there. They want to do this. When I lose the Grey Cup, when we're not there, you know, the phone doesn't ring. So you're on top of the mountain. I want to know, is it time to cash in with the sponsors? You know, do the loyal ones come even bigger to make sure that they get to stay with you? You know, how are things going for you on that front?
It's going pretty good, you know, and I think that after an Olympics, there's obviously going to be more hype around things. And obviously I did pretty well. So there's people calling my agent and all that stuff. So I think it's definitely time to kind of make some money in the sport because there's a lot of track and field athletes that don't necessarily get that opportunity. And I've been fairly lucky throughout my career, but this is a different situation. Things have been a little more hype this time around. So we're definitely cashing in a little bit and definitely trying to push this as far as we can because a lot of hard work and stuff went into the last 4 or 5 years. And I think it's time to start reaping the rewards for that.
Absolutely. Well, you deserve it, man. You put on a hell of a performance there in Tokyo. And I know being an Olympian myself, you know, we were waving the Canadian flag here, super proud. And you deserve every penny that comes to you. So I hope you clean up here the next little while for sure.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Next go around. Obviously these 4-year cycles for Olympians are very unique. You know, they never truly ever play maybe for one extra year or 2 years. It's always kind of a 4-year cycle to go to the next games. With this time being only a 3-year cycle due to the COVID delay, you know, I mean, I know that they like to write us off in our 30s. We're all in our 30s here, and I still think we're all actually probably the best in, as we've ever been in our position.
All right, hold on. Dame and I are 31. You're like 38.
I'm 38, but I'm still bringing the noise.
There's a generation gap. Yeah.
I'm still bringing the noise here. But, you're at the top of the mountain. Like, you're in peak physical condition. Did you drop the amount of points you got at the Olympics? Was that your most points ever?
That is the most points ever.
Yeah, so I mean...
The two scores that I had this year were my two highest scores ever, and both within the top four all time within the decathlon. So I'm at my best right now in my 30s.
Let's go. So what I'm saying is, you ain't shutting shit down until 2000. You're going for the next games. You got 3 more years in those. Oh yeah, I love it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Good stuff. It's one of those things where I keep, obviously because I'm in my 30s, people keep asking me like, "Are you still done? Are you retiring now?" And it's just like, I just came off my best performance.
Yeah.
And time for me to wrap it up. You know, like I still have years left in these legs.
Yeah, like you didn't stumble your way to the gold.
No, not at all. And I think the beauty of the decathlon is that there's 10 different sports within the decathlon, and that's 10 different skills. You know, so and I have some weak events like the javelin, the what's it called, the pole vault, the discus. So those events can be improved as I go, and there's still room for improvement. We still have some pretty big goals in the sport that we want to hit. So yeah, I'm not going anywhere right now.
Oh man, I was watching you in the very last event, and obviously the announcer, the camera just keeps going on you, and they're talking about the 9,000 points. They're talking about the time that you need, and you see yourself in the back just kind of like waiting that time, and everybody knows they're like, oh man, I wonder if he's gotten his legs. I'm like, gotten his legs? He's like, y'all just wait. Like, he knows exactly what he needs. He knows the exact time, the exact place he has to get. Just wait till he turns this on. And, man, just watching you go at a different speed than everybody else, like, it was just those chills that go through the body, man. It was awesome to watch.
It's one of those things where, like, usually going into the 1500, nerves are at an all-time high. But for whatever reason, like, going into this 1500, I had nothing. And I was just thinking, like, is this normal? Like, should I be panicking right now? Is something bad happening? Because, like, we knew that going through, like, 1200 meters and each lap, we knew what kind of splits I would need to run. And I was going through and I was just like, okay, I'm a little bit behind that, but I'll be fine, you know? And I kept going and I was almost too casual. And I came through 1200 meters and I think I was like 4 or 5 seconds behind my pace. And that's when like just a burst of adrenaline came and I was just like, you're going to get it. You got to go. And I just tried to pick it up and it was, I almost didn't have enough energy in my legs, but thankfully I had enough. And yeah, I don't think I'll cut it that close next time.
Oh, you made it was perfect for us to watch. It made the momentum build perfectly, man.
I feel like for most of the decathlon, it was kind of suspense free for me. So like that was the opportunity for me to put some suspense in and make the people at home shake a little bit.
See, that is
gold was locked up in the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. That's good. We don't have this on our notes, but I got to ask you because I know people have asked me too. I know you got a bronze from 2016, and now you got a gold. What do you do with your medals? Like, where do you have like a spot? You put them on a trophy case? Are they like? I think mine literally is in like my wife's top drawer, garbage drawer upstairs, like just hidden. Like, because I still use it for the odd appearance, so you take it. But what do you do with yours?
Well, right now I'm still fairly new off this gold medal, so I think for that little period of time, it kind of just travels with you like a magnet. But
oh, yeah,
I think when it's all said and done, it's probably just going to go with the rest of them in a soft drawer or something somewhere.
Yeah, totally. That's funny.
You know, it's not necessarily about the medal for me. It was just about like the whole journey and. Kind of just like seeing if I was able to do it on the day of, and after I did it, I was just like, "Oh, cool, check!" Like I was able to accomplish that, and
it's true, obviously man. You want so to much more humble than
sit in that moment and enjoy it as much as possible, and then just kind of set some new goals and see what's possible after that.
I can't.
He's about to flex that he won gold.
I know, but people know. I mean, I won the Olympics a few years ago, but honestly, I feel the same way because everyone's like, "What do you do with the medal? What do you do with the medal?" But guess what? The medal's like for other people to see. Because if you ask him, he's like, "Well, I won it. I did it." I love that shit. That's amazing. That speaks to me.
Ben doesn't leave his back pocket.
It's a nice chain, you know, but it's one of those things where like, I say that the medal is not that important, but like once you get it, you're like, oh, this is kind of nice. You know, it's a little nicer than the other medals that I've got. So who knows, maybe there'll be a special spot for it, but.
See, y'all are lucky because y'all get it right away. Like when we win the Grey Cup, we don't get the ring until right before the beginning of the next season. Which is a terrible time, by the way. Like, imagine you win the Olympics, right? Here's you get gold. All right, then we go into what's the next one?
go to Paris.
Paris.
2024, and you get it.
Okay, so 2024, you show up. No, hey, here's your gold medal from the last one, by the way.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, that's not. It's not good motivation. All right, I don't like. We need to switch that up. Hey, no. we have a quick six questions for you here to end this off. So we're gonna ask you quick six. A lot of our guests have not been super great at making this rapid fire, so we changed the name to Quick Six. speak as quickly as you want, but we're just going to kind of go through some things, get our fans to know you a little bit. So first one, I'll start off. Biggest sports idol for you?
Vince Carter, for sure.
Sick. Yeah, well, Vince, he's everybody's Canadian basketball superstar.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where, like, I would just, every single morning, I would just turn on SportsCenter and he's doing something crazy, and I just have to try to replicate that stuff with, like, a laundry basket and a ball of socks in my house and breaking all sorts of things.
But, well, now you can do it with diapers with Theo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Theo started early.
That's right. So, hey, before your races, are you headphones on? Are you pumping up the tunes? And if so, what's the playlist? What's the tunes of choice you're listening to?
You know, I kind of just put it on shuffle, like go on Spotify, and sometimes it's like discovered weekly. You know, I just listen to anything. A couple times I've listened to podcasts, but I think, like, before certain events, I listen to different music, you know? So maybe if before, like, the 100 meters, I might want something a little bit more upbeat. So I listen to, like, maybe Drake or J. Cole, something like that. Then who knows after that?
Love it. Now I kind of feel like I have to ask you. I was going to ask you your favorite sports team, but you just mentioned Drake and J. Cole. So I'm going to ask you, Certified Lover Boy or Donda?
You know, I've been liking Donda.
There's a couple really? Things on there. Like, okay.
Yeah. You know, I think, like, I don't know. There's some of the slower music in there, and I kind of like that. And Donda's like a deeper song, like a deeper album. But Certified Lover Boy seems like it's a little bit more upbeat. But I mean, there's different albums for different places. Yep. So I think they're both pretty good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So if you weren't the world's greatest athlete, what would you be doing?
I'm not sure. Maybe the world's greatest accountant.
Oh, that's
I'll
great.
Do your taxes.
That is a good answer. Knows?
All right, we've been asking everybody this. I don't think one guest has picked my side, but I'm going to ask. You're Canadian. I'm still hoping you're pulling for us. Football or curling?
Ooh, football or curling. You know, my girlfriend's mom took up curling this past winter.
Let's go.
Or 2 winters ago, and she said she had an amazing time. So I've played football is like one of my biggest loves, but I would love to try curling.
Oh, this guy's the man. Dude, every time I say it, I'm like, I know they're going to make fun of curling, and everyone's going curling, so... Dame's on the way, and I love it.
This is embarrassing. Embarrassing.
No, football is amazing too, though. Yeah, I played receiver in high school, and I think one time when I lived in Calgary, I was catching some passes from Bo inside a wind sport. You know,
sick.
I was just like, I miss this sport.
Oh yeah.
So I saw you were golfing last week with Jim Trevailing at a golf tournament.
Yeah, so I got asked to go to Muskoka Bay Resort to do a little sponsor event. So I wasn't playing. We were kind of stationed at a hole seven, and we were taking pictures. They had some Olympic rings and a podium there. And as people came through, they would, like, take pictures and stuff. And people kept asking me to hit their driver, so we just set it up. And I think I was basically, like, at a driving range for, like, 6 hours. It was pretty fun.
Sick. Good, man. Well, we've asked a few guests this. If you got to go play around at Augusta, Georgia, who are the three people you'd take with you?
Whew. My coaches would probably be upset if I didn't take them. But I'm not going to take them. I'm going to take are you guys free?
Yeah. Yeah. You would go.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That'd be tough. You know, my cousins, I've never played golf with them, but I spent so much time with them throughout my childhood. And just as the years have gone on, I've started to get a little bit closer to them and reconnect with them. So I'd probably take those guys. We probably have a good time.
Wow, your cousins. Good, man. I thought maybe you'd throw in a little Vince Carter in there. One of your cousins could caddy maybe for Vince.
I mean, Vince is pretty successful. I think that anytime he wants to play at Augusta, he can. So you got to take some people that maybe won't have the opportunity to get there.
Good man.
This is a good guy. This is a nice guy. Right
All right,
here.
Man. Well, the world's greatest athlete, thank you so much for donning the stage for us, man. We appreciate it, and I cannot wait to see you in Paris. I know you're going to be coming locked, loaded, and ready, and trying to hit even more points than the 9,000 you hit this past time, man. Congratulations. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time,
Dave. Thank you, guys. Yeah, take care.
Appreciate it, Dave.
What a beauty.
Dude, he did catch passes from me, and he did have good hands.
From the world's greatest athlete to the world's greatest whiskey.
Ooh.
40 Creek Whiskey, their latest, Fox Heart. It's unbelievable. I've been dabbling. Just got back from holidays. I was slinging it on the boat. It's amazing. Check it out. Canada's finest whiskey infused with 12-year-old Caribbean rum. It's unreal. Check it out. Fox Heart, please drink responsibly. I don't think anything rivals this stuff. Hey, rivalry?
It's awesome to hear you tell people to drink responsibly. I love it.
I do drink responsibly. It's rivalry week, baby.
It is, man. It's rivalry week. I am pumped. We have been waiting for this because we've been kind of tricking our way through
Donation Station.
Just every sports talk we have to do because football is where we shine, and this is where we both just are very passionate about it. And man, I'm excited to get this going.
Well, and I was watching the Canadian women and the U.S. women's hockey final last week, and you see all the stuff about the crazy rivalries they've had. They've had some like wild games and Olympic finals. This was another one, OT 3-on-3 winner, and it got me thinking about the best sports rivalries that not only maybe that we've been a part of, but that we've watched and we've cheered on kind of our whole lives as kids growing up. So I had a few here that I had to get down. And it's Labor Day week. CFL, like you're in the CFL.
I mean, this is the best. It's the best time for our sport.
And being from Regina, like we don't have, like the only pro sports team we have there is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Labor Day Classic, even though they just kind of, you know, they got ran out of the building yesterday. But that game between them and the Bombers every single year on Labor Day weekend is crazy. I remember going as a kid. We'd sit in section 28. It's called the university section. Taylor Field. This is before Mosaic, before they big dogged us.
I played there.
Yeah. And there was scraps. Bomber fans would come in, busloads of them from Winnipeg. You couldn't go to a Labor Day game without there being a brawl. This was before like videos and you couldn't like punch people and get away with it. Now you'd be in trouble for that kind of shit. But that was a crazy rivalry for me that I kind of got to be a part of and witness as a kid. So kudos to the CFL and you. Like, you guys must have that with the Elk.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for us, our biggest rival has to be Edmonton, the Battle of Alberta. It even carries into, to me, the Flames and Oilers. Like, the Battle of Alberta is so big. And for me, I was reading up on great rivalries, right? I looked at the top 100 of all time. No, didn't this surprise the hell out of me? Number 12 was the Battle of Alberta. And this is an American website.
Oilers-Flames?
Oilers-Flames from 83 to 90.
When I first moved here, coming from Saskatchewan, kind of cheered for the Oilers because Ebb's Jordan Eberle was playing for the Oilers. But I go to a bunch of Flames games. Got to know some of the guys. I kind of like both teams. Cheer for both.
Yeah.
And my buddies were like, oh, no.
No, you can't do that.
You don't cheer for both in this city.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. You guys are psychos.
No, you got to pick one, man. Every fan will tell you, like, no matter what your record is for the Stampeders in a year, I don't care what you do. You can win the Grey Cup. You can win MOP. But you better beat Edmonton at home on Labor Day.
That's the one that you've lived in.
Yeah.
And you're playing it.
And I love it, man. It's awesome. I'd say, to me, one of my favorite rivalries right now, and probably a little bit more in the past, is just playing against Michael Riley. Because we went, 2014, 15, 17, played each other in West Finals to go to the Grey Cup. All right, Grey Cup, I win 2014, he wins 15, and then we go 16, 17, 18. We were in first place or second place in CFL and in the West Division for four straight years.
That's sick.
And we always say the cliche thing, right? Like, it's not about playing against the other guy. But like, when you get up there and Tom Brady's playing against Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady's like, I have to put a little bit extra in this game because I know what that other guy can do.
He's going to put up 40.
Yeah. Like, you just know what the other guy can do. If I give the ball back to him with a minute left, he's going to go down and score. If he does it to me, I'm going to go down and score.
I find like two sides of the rivalry. Like, you talk about the one with you and Riley. That's a respect rivalry. Because you know how good the guy is. The hate rivalry ones are awesome, too.
Those are awesome.
I love those, and there's a few of them out there. But the big respect rivalry one for me that I know they're really good friends. They've talked about on social. You've seen it. And they played in 50 matches against each other, 20 majors each, coming from a tennis family growing up in Regina.
Yep.
Rafa and Feds and Federer, for me, that rivalry, every single time it's on, it's like must-watch TV. Can't not watch it. My cousins be buzzing me like, are you watching this? Another five-setter. That one for me over the last 10 years has been super special. I'm sad to see they're kind of like, other guys are beating them all the time now. We don't get to see it quite as much. But when we do now, it's still pretty special to watch those two go head-to-head.
Man, I would say hate rivalry for us growing up would have to be UT and Texas A&M. Back in the Major Applewhite days, I don't know if you know who that is.
Absolutely
quarterback
not.
For the Longhorns, man. I mean, it is just, it's either, you either wear burnt orange or you wear maroon. Like, there's nothing else. Like, Texas Tech was never good. You know what I mean? Like, there was never another team that even mattered in college football in the state of Texas. Now, Texas OU, the Red River rivalry, that was a great one too. But A&M, Texas Longhorns, for me, it was UT, burnt orange. That's where I always wanted to go as a kid.
So that's sick. And I can imagine the rivalries down there because yesterday was like season opener kickoff for college football. And the chills you get when those guys cut running through, like, was it Wisconsin I saw and Virginia Tech? with the stuff they do with the music when they come in with the crowd.
And
it's
just the cannons.
Holy
shit. The music.
Shit.
And one thing I've always loved about college is the student section.
Oh, man.
Like, the student section is just going absolutely insane when you're watching college football.
I got to get down to a college game. I need you to take me to Texas. We'll go to a college game whenever allowed to go.
Hey, I'm
going to
take you to a Texas high school football game.
That'd
okay?
Be
because
too.
One of my favorite rivalries of all time is us against Katy Taylor. So Katy High School. We're, you know, one of the most prolific high schools in the history of not only Texas football, but in football across the entire United States. But when we play our homegrown teams right there in our division, Katy Taylor, like, it is hate. Like, it is what you think of, like, spray painting each other's schools, stealing each other's mascots. Like, it is dirt pouring gasoline on the other team's field to kill the grass. Like, it is terrible.
Ruthless.
It was ruthless back in the day. Kids don't do that. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, I find another one to be crazy in sports is, like, you know, country versus country. You know, you don't always get to see, you know, Canada versus Russia in men's hockey, you know, women's hockey, Canada versus U.S. Even just this past month when we had Steph Labbe last week, her talk about them versus the United States. There's so many rivalries when you get
into everybody versus the United States.
Yeah, why does everyone goddamn hate the United States? But, you know, those rivalries are special. I got to go to the game, 2010 Olympics, Canada versus Russia in the quarterfinal. Russia, you know, different kind of hockey, big boys, and love the celebrations, love throwing it in your face, wicked hockey players, and they have the second best league in the world, the KHL. And when Canada, we ran them out of the building, I think they beat them like 4 or 5-0. We were there, and it felt to me like that was the final. Like, they played in the quarters. Normally, they wouldn't play till the semis or the final. Beat them in the quarters, and then you kind of knew the writing was on the wall that Canada was going to win gold there. That was a special one for me I got to witness.
So what, I want to go through, let's go through some of our favorites of all time. Okay, because to me, team rivalries are amazing, right? You've got Green Bay, Chicago. You've got Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, Boston Celtics, LA Lakers. Like, you've got some crazy, insane team rivalries. The Canadians, the Leafs, like, absolutely crazy.
Canadians and Bruins were a big one growing up for me too.
My favorite rivalries are players. Like, when you're watching two teams, you're like, I can't wait to see these two players lined up, right? Like, you're seeing it a lot in nowadays when you're talking like cornerbacks and receivers. Like, finally, they're starting to get in the media more. And it's like, I can't wait to see those two go against each other. But for me, growing up, and I know you saw it too because you're a baseball fan, but McGuire and Sosa.
Oh, yeah. Well, just juiced up.
Honestly.
And I didn't care. I know that's Brad, you know, I'll say that. But, like, the entertainment factor for me, like, being young, just watching these guys hit dingers all over the yard, it was an awesome time.
Yes.
And we talked about a 30 for 30 earlier. Have you seen the 30 for 30 on McGuire Sosa?
I have.
It is sick, man.
Dude, okay, does it, like, you know how people joke about the steroid Olympics? Okay, let's have a real Olympics. Let's have a steroid Olympics. No, that's not a good idea. But what I would like is to have one player that is allowed to juice on every baseball team, and he is your four-hole hitter, and he's your home run guy, and we get to watch the home run derby. We get to watch the home run race the entire time, and we all know it's that one
guy.
The
designated juicer.
The designated juicer.
Well, there's a lot of guys that are retired now that probably wish that was a rule so they wouldn't be in so much shit these days, but that's not...
But we won't mention those guys.
That's not going to fly. And you know one for me that we haven't hit on yet, and I know you're going to be... This is the best one ever for me. Growing up, Indianapolis Colts, New England Patriots, every single time they played, Manning Brady, right? It was a pretty special time. The quarterbacks.
Any Manning team versus Brady.
Yeah, you're right.
Giants,
Eli too.
Even when Peyton went to Denver, like.
And then he beat him. Didn't he beat Tom to win his second Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Just throwing muffins all over the place, but his defense went
crazy.
Oh, sorry,
who? Peyton?
Yeah, Peyton.
No, Eli won too against him.
No, but I think Peyton beat Tom in the AFC Championship game.
And we'd love to go to our side person who does our fact checks, but we don't have that yet.
We don't have that. We're having
so
we
if you'd
have
like to apply, go to Benny and Bo.
Okay, Manning Brady, unbelievable,
unbelievable. And but did you not always feel like it was always going to be Brady?
And you, no, I didn't. Not in the heyday because Peyton was so nasty. And then watching them now, I mean, Brady's still going. Oh my God, he's just ridiculous. But and just knowing those two guys, first ballot Hall of Famers. Well, Peyton just got in, like,
yep.
Super special.
His speech was amazing, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He's the man.
Okay, you're talking college football, and I got to say, one of the most undersung rivalries of all time to watch, to experience, is Army versus Navy in college football. I want you to imagine this. Like, you're talking about the fans, right? Imagine the entire stands are full of people dressed from head to toe in theirs, and not school colors, but in their gear. Like, they are locked up. They've got their patches. They've got everything. Like, you look up and it's everybody in the Army and it's everybody in the Navy. And, you know, both teams about to run pounded football, triple option. They're always going to hit the under. I think the under has hit 17 years in a row or something ridiculous. But to me, that game right there, like it epitomizes to me, like college football, the Army and the Navy facing each other get to have bragging rights within.
Yeah, that I mean, that's crazy. I mean, those are similar. Those are probably as intense as our curling rivalries. It sounds like.
Oh gosh. What is like? Who is like? Let's go personal. Who is your personal rivalry?
I don't know if we have any like personal individual rivalries.
It's no, like kind of almost a team like game. Fights or anything.
Last year there was almost a fight.
Really?
I wouldn't say it was a rivalry. One of the guys, Wayne Madaw, he's like kind of the bad boy of curling. He's like the old man of curling now. He's like 50. Came back last year for the Briar, had a great run. We played him in the last game of the round robin, and we knocked him out. We beat him. We got first, and it knocked them out. And behind the boards, the curling is supposed to be the gentleman's
game.
Yeah,
the old guy that they were talking about who came back,
yeah,
right?
Veteran.
He had like a car accident or something.
Yeah, he got skiing or like
that's the bad boy of curling.
Oh, I mean, off the ice, he's a great guy, nice guy to have a beer with. On the ice, the biggest prick in the history of the sport. But and you know, you get angry, you kick a rock, bang a broom, guilty. But this guy comes off the ice last year after a game, and he fucking broke my skip's broom in half. He broke Kevin Cooey's broom in half. Took our broom, my skip's broom, broke it in half. My coach went bananas. Almost a fist fight behind the curtain. COVID, everyone's in masks. We're not allowed to go near anyone. And I'm holding my coach back. We almost had a full-on Briar brawl.
That 100% should have been a brawl.
Oh, I do like our chances against that team. They just got a couple little guys. So that'd be a team I'd like to go. There's a couple teams I wouldn't want to go, but that'd be one I'd be happy with.
That's a brawl right away. Okay, you know what? You talked about Manning and Brady. NFL's back, and I want to get to it. I love the rivalries. It's rivalry week, but you know where there's a lot of rivals? And that's in the NFL. So for me, let's talk this out really quick because I got to get to it. Our amazing sponsors right here at DraftKings, it is time to celebrate. The NFL season has officially kicked off, and DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. It puts you front and center of all the action. All new players at DraftKings get a free shot at $1 million. That's the top prize for their first deposit. Has to be a $5 deposit. Use the promo code Benny and Bo. It's simple to play. You just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap. You finally get to be that armchair GM that you've always wanted to be and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at $1 million. Download the DraftKings app today. Remember, new customers get a free shot at $1 million top prize and compete for millions in other prizes. Minimum $5 deposit required. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And in saying that, it is time.
Here we go.
For Donation Station. We've been waiting.
This is what we've been waiting for. We called it Donation Station because we didn't know when we were going to get into the NFL. NFL, one, it's my favorite sport. I love it. It's the most entertaining sport. Did my fantasy draft last night. I am jacked to get rolling. I got another one on Tuesday night. Meet a bunch of curlers in the world. We do a big fantasy draft together. So I'm pumped for that. But two, we might have to change the name from Donation Station because we're going to call it Clean It Up with the Boys.
Yeah, this is making some money.
We're going to try to make a little cash for everybody that's tuning in here in the NFL. We got a little bit of knowledge. We follow the NFL. We got a gunslinger. I am pumped. Let's roll. We're NFL all the time
here now. This is it. Like, do you have that cheap friend that, like, no matter what, is going to eat, you know, Bush's baked beans, you know, for dinner? He's going to save all the money. Maybe he drives a Ford Flex that he bought for $4,000 that he's been driving around for. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
That was a little shout out, but I don't know if he even knows. This is where let's help them out. Let's try to get them some money back. So this is it, man. NFL, Ben and I both did really well last year.
I didn't do as good as you. I did okay.
No, I had a hell of a year, and the playoffs were insane. But honestly, I do think that was kind of the COVID year.
You're right.
A lot of young guys were playing well, and I think it was like the worst record ever for home teams.
Yeah, no fans, no advantage.
Yeah, it was weird. But we had a lot of away wins, and I made a lot of money on that. And then it was my favorite one, which is the anytime touchdown.
That's a good one.
Anytime touchdown. So here it is. I'm giving it to you right now. Anytime touchdown. So as long as the player scores a touchdown at any time in the game, you get it. And what I always like to do on this, okay, and I've kind of showed you my madness on this one, I like to take four players, and this is why. I take four players who I think are going to score. So typically, go with those running backs, get those goal line touches. Davante Adams is never a bad one, right? Obviously, at the end of the year, I think he had like 17 touchdowns last year. That was fun to watch. But
you cashed in a lot on Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. Zeke, towards the end of the year, was a guy I was actually putting in there a decent amount. But your Nick Chubbs, Alvin Kamara. So one I really cashed in on because when the quarterbacks get it, the odds go up insane. So here's the one I have. For this, everybody's talking about Jameis Winston. He's QB1, but guess what? Taysom Hill's still making $12 million this year, okay? So I'm going Taysom Hill. I'm going Derrick Henry. I'm going Nick Chubb. And my favorite, my guy, I took him seventh pick of the first round, Travis Kelce. $100 is going to pay you $2,200.
If all four guys score a TD?
If all four guys score a TD. Now, if you want to up those odds, here's one of my favorite things to do, and it makes it kind of a little bit crazy, is you can change one of those anytime touchdowns to first touchdown. Scores the first touchdown in the game. A guy I like to do that for right now, to me, is Derrick Henry.
We said we're going to make people money, and Bo is just going crazy out of the gates. I love it. Here's what I'm going
to do it.
I'm doing a lock of the week, upset of the week, and I'm going to do a three-game parlay.
I've got a three-game at the end, too.
So here's who I'm going with. The absolute guaranteed lock of the week, cannot lose money, the Kansas City Chiefs to cover 6 points at home against the Cleveland Browns.
I like
Patrick
that.
Mahomes, 6 points. Cleveland doesn't scare me. I know they had a bit of a hype run last year. They beat the Steelers in the playoffs. I look at the quarterbacks, I look at Mayfield, and then I look at Patty Mahomes, the weapons he has, and at home coming out of the gates, he might put up 40 points. Take them to cover 6 against the Browns. The upset of the week, I'm wavering back and forth here. It is an upset, so I don't care how much you play, but there's a good value here.
We should say play whatever you're comfortable with, and you are able to lose.
That's right. Don't play with your mortgage money, okay? But here's what I'm going to do, and it's not because the Steelers... bucket here is sitting on my shelf. Okay.
Oh man.
And it's not because Chase
Claypool. Such a homer.
It's not because Chase Claypool is coming on the show for our next show either. Even though I can't wait for that. But I will say this: I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers to upset the Buffalo Bills. Here's why: everybody's all over the Buffalo Bills.
What?
They're crowning Josh Allen.
Ooh.
Big Ben got dragged through the coals in the offseason for having a shitty playoffs. Yada yada. They got Najee Harris. Brand new running back. I think they're going to run the rock, old school football. Then they're going to go Psych Rooney, play action over the top. Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith, Chase Claypool.
Psych Rooney.
And here's the thing. Who's Buffalo's running back?
Devin Singletary and Zach Moss.
Yeah. I don't like them.
You don't even know who they were.
That's why I don't like them.
Yeah,
no, I did
you,
like.
You
I
know
did,
who their running
I
back is?
I did know who they were, actually.
You know who their running back is? Josh Allen.
Yeah, well, that's why they're going to lose. I'm taking. Hey, it's an upset.
You're hurting me.
I'm taking the Steelers.
Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders are my college receivers. Like, I'm like pulling for the Bills right now, and you're just like, nah.
I'm a Steeler fan, and it pays like +310 on the road. I'm taking the curtain. I think they're going to have a good year.
Does it really?
Big Ben came into camp looking good, looking lean and mean. I'm taking him.
They say it every year, and then they show him on the sideline. He's got this giant neck pillow. He's like,
bad angles. I know what bad angles are about. You're going to need a good angle.
We get some bad angles here, too, every now and then.
Yeah, these cameras got to go higher.
Aiden, work these cameras just a little bit better, brother.
That's right. One more.
All right, let's hear it.
Three-game parlay.
Yep.
Just money line. I'm not taking the spreads. Packers over the Saints. You know why? Aaron Rodgers. You know I need to say anything else?
I can't argue.
No, Aaron Rodgers is going to clean up Jameis. Come on. Okay, Rodgers, free cash. Jacksonville over Houston.
So nobody else matters is what you're saying.
No, I got him. Jacksonville, I'm taking the rookie, Trevor Lawrence, in his very first NFL game.
Over Houston?
Because you know why? Houston's the worst team in NFL history. They look awful. I know they're your boys, but I'm taking Jacksonville. And then I'm taking Tennessee to beat the Arizona Cardinals. I just think Tennessee's defense is tough. Tannehill, Derrick Henry run it down their throat. And those are your three. So if you got the Packers.
What are the odds on that?
Yeah, Packers, Jacksonville, and Tennessee pay... +300. So $100 pays you $402. That's the bet I'm making. If you want to make it with me, it's guaranteed cash. So I gave you a lock and a lock parlay.
I swear Ben's like, he goes and makes his bets. Like, how can I piss Bo off? Let me see.
Those are my NFL picks, baby. Let's
roll.
I like it.
Here's my three-way parlay. I'll go quick. I'm going to go two over-unders, and I'm going to take a game at the end here. So Jacksonville versus the Texans. Okay. Over-under is 44.5. Tyrod Taylor, not looking... You know, it's the Texans. Like we said, they're not going to be very good this year. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, their coach has even praised how slow the offense has looked. Etienne is gone. Don't love that. So I am interested to see what's going to happen here, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored. Maybe like the Bombers and Saskatchewan game that just happened, which, by the way, start Labor Day. That was an awesome one to watch, especially after Montreal, 51 points over there.
Well, Montreal... I think
so. I'm taking the under 44.5 points. I'm taking the under there. Okay. The lowest over under in the NFL this week is 41.5. And that's the Broncos Giants. I don't like that. I'm going over. Okay. Because to me, I think Teddy Bridgewater is more than what people expect of him. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, those guys, I think they're going to look good on offense. I think New York's offense is going to look a little bit more revamped with Saquon.
Me too.
He's not back. I don't think he's back till week three, but I do think that this year, those two teams are a little bit underhyped. And to me, I think there's going to be a little bit of fireworks happening there. So 41.5, I'm going over there. And then my personal lock of the week, If you play survival pool, this is also my survival pool, pool pick for week one. The San Francisco 49ers, 7.5-point favorites over Detroit Lions. I think Detroit Lions are going to rival Houston for the worst team in the NFL this year. I think it's going to be a neck-and-neck race for the first pick of the draft. So I'm going to go San Francisco minus 7.5, the over of 41.5 on Denver versus New York, and the under 44.5 Jacksonville versus Texans. Fiji's going to pay you 305. That's plus 612 on the odds. To me, hey, we can make some money here on the NFL, right?
I love it. And hey, if you hit any of those bets, and if you hit them, please message
us. Hit
us
up. Yeah, give us
credit.
Hit us up. If you don't talk to us.
we lost with you. But one more thing before we get out of the Nation Station. Last week, I did say that the Canadian women's hockey team was going to upset the American hockey team.
You did.
And so they paid plus 165. I took them early in the week. They picked it up in overtime, 3-on-3 in the ladies' women's championship. So if you did follow that, you're welcome. That's a little cash and dash that I brought you there. And I don't know who else we'd rather want to bring into the show right now than the sniper herself, fresh off the world championship win, Captain Clutch, another game winner. She sniped the gold medal winning clinching goal in 2010, 2014, and then again, and those were in the Olympics.
Time out. What?
Oh, yeah, she's a sniper. And then she did it again here, little dirty bar down one too. My Olympic teammate, 2010, 2018, friend of mine, Marie-Philippe Poulin. Welcome to the Benny and Bo Show.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
MPP, it's good to have you on. Hey, so I saw on Instagram a bit of a party going on in the locker room after some beer, some champagne. I just want to know, tell me about the party. Did you get to party with the family and friends after?
Sadly, no. We had to stay in our bubble still. We were able to celebrate a little bit at the rink, and then we went back to the hotel and celebrate a little bit more. To be honest, it was fun. We had a great time. We enjoyed it with the cup, and it was fun. It was a long time coming.
What hotel were you guys at? We were in that same bubble. We played at COP2. We were across the street. Where did you guys have to stay?
We were in the Hyatt downtown, though.
That's the difference between hockey and curling. They're in the Hyatt. We're in the goddamn four-point Sheraton across the street.
Marie. But
we were there before for 2 weeks and a half.
I had to take Benny his Peloton, and I got to the hotel, and I'm like, man, this is where they put him up, huh?
We had to stay there for 17 days just crushing rice bowls, and I can't go that long without a couple sweats. So I got Bo to bring me my bike when I was down there.
Oh, man.
Goddamn.
That's awesome.
So, okay, so I want to talk about your game-winning goal. So you're like infamous for sniping all the game winners. 2010, we were there. 2014, you snipe this one again, bar down, just a dirty finish too. It was sick. You knew it was in, or at least you acted like you knew it was in. When you got back to the bench, I just want to know, were you like, guys, this thing is over? Or were you trying to refocus to get composed just in case it didn't go in? I want to know where your confidence level was and how if it went in or not.
Well, obviously when that happened, I saw it and I heard the sound. I knew it was in, like I kind of pointed and I went back to the bench and the coaches were with the iPad talking with our video guy. And it's like, are you sure, Pooh, you saw it? And I was like, yes, I'm pretty, like, obviously, like right away when someone asked a question, you're like, wow, I'm pretty sure. So now, okay, they're looking and like, maybe we'll wait for the next whistle so we can look at the goal. But in the meantime, I'm like, okay, well, we got to refocus because the game is still going on. So I'm on the bench and I'm like, shit, like I would look so dumb if that's not it. And to be honest, I'm like, okay, let's try to refocus. And then when the buzzer went in, like, to be honest, I'm on the bench. And I'm just like, everybody's like a little confused with that buzzer. But then like, obviously right away we knew and it was pretty exciting. Obviously it would have been fun to make it happen right away and enjoy it. But it was a fun little 30 seconds where you doubt yourself, but it's a good doubt.
Oh, that was awesome.
Grab that fire alarm behind you because you've been as hot as anybody when it comes to sports.
No doubt.
So we were last show with Steph Labbe, we were talking some of our favorite sports movies. We were just talking our favorite sports rivalries right before you came on. I would love to know, do you have a favorite, even if it's old school, if it's right now, any your favorite sports rivalry, even if it's, you know, you and USA and Canada?
Well, obviously, there's a pretty big one for ourselves. And even when you talk about Steph, the US-Canada, it's always something that we look forward to. We train for it. That's why we train. That's why we push ourselves. But if I look back at the movie, like you mentioned, to be honest, Miracle, it's something that's pretty fun to watch when you watch that movie. I think it's just,
oh yeah,
realize the hard work that it takes to get there. And it was back in the day. And everything that they went through, I think it's pretty awesome to see that. But being part of one, it's even better for sure.
So is that rivalry with the USA? Is that a respectful one, or is it a little bit out of hate?
No, it is. I think it is a big respectful one. Obviously, when you get on that ice, there's no friends. There's nothing, to be honest. It gets pretty competitive, pretty intense. It gets physical. But off the ice, to be honest, we're trying to build that league. We're trying to make something even bigger than ourselves. And there's respect there. We train for the same thing. We dream about the same thing. We want the Olympic gold medal. So there's a lot of respect there. But when times comes to play that game, it's competitive, that's for sure.
Friends off. Whenever we're same in Curling, like we get along with the guys. You know, when I get on the ice, like pure hate. Not even like the little bit of respect. Hate everyone you play against.
I love it.
Just for a couple hours. So, Pooh, you. I remember when we were teammates in 2010, you know, I kind of knew Tessa Bonham, a couple of the other ladies on the team, Shannon Zabados from Alberta here. You know, they were saying to me, like, you were young at the time, they're like, she's the next phenom, like she's the next Haley Wickenheiser, she's the Crosby McDavid of our team. You know, you had a lot of pressure on you as a young kid. You've lived up to all the hype, you know, all your game-winning goals, and now you're the captain and a veteran. Did you feel that pressure as a young kid, and how did you get through that?
Yes, I did. Like, obviously, like, not gonna lie, after 2010, it happened very quick. Being there at 18, like being able to score two goals, winning that gold medal in Canada, it did happen very quick. And then as you move on, like your role changed on the team and realize that you take a little bit more year after year. And obviously 2014 happened again and very special. And in 2018, I become the captain. And obviously right away, it's like, okay, wow, there's a lot of pressure. And I think that little bit of gap there, 2017 to like 2019, it was really a learning lesson, to be honest, where you just like realize like, okay, maybe take a step back. It's a team sport. Breathe a little. You don't need all that, but it was a learning experience, obviously. But it was my fault. That maybe I should reach out a little bit more to my surroundings, my environment, my people that helped me through it all. But I don't like asking for help. But it was a learning curve. But now I think we're a great spot with a lot of great people around.
Well, yeah, I would say. I mean, you seem like you're doing a really good job leading the team, and especially with I saw a new young core this year. And they got a hell of a leader to look up to in you, and you can see them hard playing for all the veterans and yourself. So you're doing a good job teaching those youngsters. So keep that shit going.
Thank you, man.
Well, one person that did have to ask for help is Blair Turnbull. She during y'all celebration, football is infamous for the celebrations going wrong. She breaks her leg at the bottom of the pile. I broke my leg. I'm back. I'm feeling good. So if she needs some help, by the way, you tell her to hit me up. But how is she doing? We saw her get to go back on the ice to get the medal, which was amazing. But how's Blair doing?
Oh, what a turnout of event, to be honest. This girl is our shark of our team. She's a great girl, to be honest. When we saw that happen, obviously I didn't see it right away. I was in the middle of the pile. But when I look back at the picture, I saw her on the side and asking for help from Melody Daou, and she just dragged her on the side of the ice. And to be honest, we were all shocked a little bit. We didn't know what happened. And after seeing her on the stretcher, that picture, that moment, to be honest, is pretty priceless. When she goes back with that smile and that medal, she's something special, but she's doing great. I think yesterday she had the moment with the cup, so finally she had a moment. Obviously, it sucked that she couldn't enjoy with us in that night, but we'll make it again. We'll do it again. But she'll have a couple of weeks to take care of it, and she'll be back even stronger.
I like to hear that. That's good. That's good to hear. Okay, Pooh, just I want to throw this at you before we ask you what you're up to and what's next for Canada. I just want to let you know, prior to the Women's Worlds here on our last show with Steph Labbe, I said I'm betting on the Canadian women to beat the American women. You guys were underdogs, so you guys paid pretty good at the time. So I hit the Canadian women to win. And then the day of the final, I was like, oh, I've been kind of watching. It looks like it's going to be a good game. I bet the game to go into OT. And then going into OT, I bet Marie-Philippe Poulin to score the OT winner. $850.
Like, what is this?
So here.
He's the luckiest guy in the world.
Next time I see you, I buy you a beer for making me some cash. And if you want to check my timeline, Pete Labardius, good hockey reporter here in Calgary, he tweeted out just in between the third and OT, he said, great game going on, Canada, U.S., Women's World Hockey Championship. And I replied, and I just said, everybody knows Poulin's about to score the OT winner. And then you made me look like a wizard. So thank you very much for that.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
I went for it. So what's going on now with the team? You guys are you guys stationed in Calgary here again, how you have in other Olympic years, or what's the story going forward here?
Yeah, exactly. We all here centralizing training here full time. It's going to be 6 months where we're going to play games, we're going to practice, we're going to train off ice. But we're here for the next 6 months. Obviously, it's not the same year as usual, starting with a world championship. But now here we are. We did it, but now we've got to get back to work to get back on top at the Olympics.
That gives you a pretty good stepping stone, though, and gives you guys some good confidence heading into the Olympics to beat the Americans. I don't know who the favorite is now going into China, but I know I'm sure for the young team like you guys, it gives you guys a good stone to jump on to go to the games. But who do you guys play here the next 6 months? Like, who do you guys play in the, like, some of the midget teams again, the junior teams, or who do you guys play to get prepped for that?
Yeah, we're going to have a couple of games against a couple of guys' teams. We're going to get AAA or Junior A. And then we have a couple games against the Americans. We always have a couple series going on, either in Canada or US. And then we actually have a trip in Finland where we're going to play a couple games over there. And obviously, it's going to be pretty busy. We have between 30 and 35 games, I think, this year, and go from there.
I love it. Well, hey, if you guys ever need an extra ice time, we play Mondays at 9:15 out in Chesapeake.
Oh, the Lake Show.
If you want to play the Chesapeake Lakers beer league team, you guys could come run us out of the building if you're ever looking for some extra confidence.
Perfect.
I went to one of their games. Y'all are going to mop them up.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, so I train over at COP all the time, right? And I will say that when the women's hockey team comes in, they are the first to talk shit.
Oh, I know.
Like, Brianne, amount of times I've been doing something, Brianne's like, is that a warm-up set, or are you just going to grab some more weight, or what's going on there?
I know a few of the gals. They're all, they're very humble and stuff on camera. Like, boo, she's a pro. But behind the scenes, they're all like,
oh, they can't wait. They can't wait to roast you.
They're like closet cocky. They throw the jabs pretty good. Anyway, Poo, I know it's early. I really appreciate you coming on your few days off here and wowing us with your wisdom and your championship goals. Nothing but the best. We see you around Calgary. I owe you a couple beers for making me some money. So thanks very much, and we'll see you around.
Thanks, Shooter.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. Bye.
I feel like we've got to coin the nickname Shooter for her, for Mark Wahlberg, the movie Sniper.
Yeah, she's a sniper. Yeah, I love it. Okay, well, that was great. You know, and I've known Pooh for a few years. She's such a total pro. It's awesome that she took the time to come on, because I know she's vacaying right now, taking some time after a big win. So that was great. As we move forward here, we've been doing a mailbag section on the show where we've been taking a couple questions in. This one is pretty funny. This guy, Steve, he's from Hamilton, Ontario.
Uh-oh.
He obviously watched our last show because he says, last show you guys talked about your favorite sports movies of all time. If you could meet one of the characters in that movie, who would you want it to be? Steve, I like it because this is so many good
that
ones.
That is a good one. There's a lot of good characters out there in sports movies I want to meet.
Go for it, brother.
You want me to hit mine?
Hit it.
Okay, so this is embarrassing. I named my daughter after this movie. Ellie. So whenever she finds this out, when she gets older, she's going to kill me. But semi-pro, I would love to meet Jackie Moon.
Oh my God.
Will Ferrell, just like he, to me, he is the ultimate character in that movie. I absolutely love him. Corn Dogs, Jackie. Like, it is just the best movie.
Where does the Ellie come from in the movie?
Okay, so they get in a fight with one of the guys they trade for from another team. They trade him for a washing machine, by the way, because their washing machine doesn't work. And there's a sign in the back, and he's like, hey, what does the sign say? It's like, E-L-E, everybody love everybody. So my wife and I are trying to come up with names, and jokingly, like, we're trying to come up with names that mean something. And I was like, oh, what about Ellie? Like, everybody love everybody. She's like, oh, I love that. It's so good. I'm like, so I had to wait a little bit to let her know. We watched the movie.
I love it.
And that's kind of how she found out.
Mine wouldn't be quite that deep. That's like a good, like, pull the heartstrings story. I would want to be Ricky Vaughn, who's played by Charlie Sheen, who's a little bit of a wild man. I mean, back then he seemed like he had his shit, going down the right path. But Charlie Sheen, Ricky Vaughn, wild thing in Major League. Like, when he comes in out of the bullpen and they're pumping Wild Thing and, the Cleveland Indian team, they're going nuts and the fans. Like, it's just, that would be a cool. And, you got the cool haircut, the glasses. He seems like he'd be a super fun guy to play catch with, super fun guy to have a beer with. Ricky Vaughn for me. And I had it in one of my top five movies.
In Major League One, obviously. Because Major League Two, he shows up in a suit.
Yeah, no. Major League One, and he was right out of the California Penal League. So,
I love it, man.
Anywho, that is it. Episode 9. Steve, thank you for the question. Thank you to Uninterrupted Canada. DraftKings 40 Creek. Check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get your podcast.
And don't forget to hit us up on Instagram at Benny Heaves, at Bully by Mitchell. Man, we will see y'all for the next one. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Benny and Bo Show, a presentation of Uninterrupted Canada.